Hello and welcome to Holden Village. Today is June 15th, 1999. In the Quinnanier Fireside, today we have Edna Hansen, our internal tree of life, our brain, God's plan for natural development. Let's listen in. Tape number 99-2.
I too? Oh, you were too.
You mean the other day?
Yes.
Yesterday. How many were here?
Was it just yesterday?
Was I the only one?
No, I think my friend in the back
was here. She's not there.
Well, we talked about prenatal life and the actual the way we are programmed, that we actually begin exercises in the womb, which are extremely important for survival. And I was talking to the people here about mothers think that they feel random pushes and whatever, but by 3 months they're supposed to be doing the moral reflex in the womb, which is a survival reflex that they're born with. But they start to acquire these and are programmed genetically to do these before they even come. And those that they come with are for startle, for all the things that might happen in this fantastic environment that they come from, this sheltered little nest, you know, and they come out in this big world, and so they have ways that they arch their neck if they're startled. They do the pulling up like this. They roll up into a coil like this if they're touched on certain parts of their back. All of these things are amazing that we are programmed to survive even before we get here. After we get here, it would be great if we have a support system, you know, a mother, father, and everything that's necessary for I was talking about the astronauts yesterday, how they have 10 men that are with them constantly for training, and then when they send them off, they have everything complete on their own, you know, their survival suit. But the infant comes totally without the trappings that they need for warmth. We have to keep them covered. For food, they have to be given their nurturing either through the mother or artificially, and they have to have...
Excuse me, there's no one in there.
Oh, golly.
So, I don't...
That's interesting. Do you know how I can call for video?
You were going to use a video...
This particular day was to be introduction to Rye, and that's...
I wonder if the best thing we can be to... change with Jennifer room so you can use the little one.
Oh, does
they use a projection one?
Oh, I see. Yeah, a little one before this group would be fine. Golly, thank you so much.
I see. Just a second.
Pastor Mays is being my guardian angel. Yeah, I went to his class the other day. It was really great. Mm-hmm. But anyway, when we come out, then we have to get rid of those reflexes. And I was showing the gentleman the book that this woman wrote, who is in Chester, England, where for 15 years they studied the effects of the reflexes showing up in children of 4 and 5 and 6 years old when they should have been negated early on, like at 6 months of life. And 9 months is really pretty late, but it can still be okay. If they're found to have them, which they found children, and the video I have for Thursday shows, because I'm talking about the kids I have here that I work with on Thursday, I thought this was pretty neat enticement. But then they can do sensory integration therapy with the children that have the leftover reflexes to get rid of them, to allow for the further neurological processes to continue.
And I found him, so he'll be coming there.
He's coming here?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awfully nice. Thank you, sir. Anyway, to get back to why we're having Rye today, is that when I first actually started clinical practice in Los Angeles helping children one-to-one who had learning problems, that's a wonderful, rewarding thing to do, because it takes 3 to 6 months to get a child back together if he isn't reading or if he has some of the labels they stick on at school, like AD. I think now it's ADD and some of the others. And we've kind of lost dyslexic. It's now coming into other things. In fact, they are now labeling a lot of children autistic that I do not believe are autistic, and it's really sad. But when I worked with them one-to-one, I was totally rewarded. It's a profitable thing to do, but it is so sad to see so many come that when my husband retired, I said, I want to go up and start a prevention program. And that's how I ended up with the research lab he built me, to take normal children, and with the sensory integration and the vision therapy that we do, which to them is just a bunch of fun and games, we can find out if they'll stick to being normal and fully operative through the fourth grade, based on research that's positive all over the country, that out of every 10 children coming out of kindergarten, 5 are visually impaired. And one of the things that gets a child labeled most of all is that he visually can't operate in a school program. And that's based on the fact that they're bringing a lot of academic work down into kindergarten, that used to be in the beginning of second grade, and or the end of first grade, and the vision system doesn't complete maturation till they're between 7 and 9 years old. So 85% of learning in school is visual, but if your eyes start to regress instead of develop, you're going to become labeled.
And are you saying that we force their eyes to regress because we're asking them to do things that they're not able to do?
Well, it's not a matter of forcing. It's simply if the child goes about the task of what he's given in printed work, which a lot of the pre-reading is, drawing from this side to this side, tracking more or less on the page. Vision fusion is the one particular aspect of vision that does not complete full growth until they're between 7 and 9, depending on how much movement they have in their life. Movement is totally essential to vision development. Fusion is that we have a bone here that extends right here back into our brain about that long. What you get in your eyes are dots coming in here, crossing over the midline here, midbrain's down here, and then going back to the occipital lobe here where you see. Mm-hmm. You actually only get dots here. Yes, thank you. And fusion doesn't make that complete. A lot of children in kindergarten, if you ever see them writing like this, you see a lot of children at their desk, they're using one eye. That's how they manage to do their work.
They're compensating.
Yeah, and it doesn't help the other eye in development. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how. I'm on good terms with a lot of wonderful kindergarten teachers that realize that 50% of the children there are not, ready for the process that they're doing. But parents too have been kind of responsible for wanting children to read early.
Mm-hmm.
Can't say that it's just the teachers. So
rather than just do some of that preparatory groundwork.
Well, reading is one thing, but comprehension, understanding what you're reading. We have about the lowest score.
Excuse me, and are you ready for the
in our country?
Video?
Yeah. This program is something important because it allows for those reflexes to be inhibited. With that, we'll just watch and then you can ask questions.
The child is either tickled or rattled, moved in front of. What we then do is tell the child, don't dare to feel uncomfortable. But the child does feel uncomfortable. So try to imagine what message we give to a child whose way of feeling is not acknowledged, but kind of talked out, like how many people tell you're okay. Maybe the child doesn't feel okay. Who are we to tell the child how he or she feels? About it, it can be scary, because if you allow a child to grow authentic, you have to believe in authenticity and you have to work on your own authenticity. And certainly life around us is not healthy. They always tell you what you have to do to be different from what you are. You shouldn't have your own shape, you should be slimmer, if you are blonde, you should be dark, if you are dark, you should be red. It's, you know, because that's the way people sell products. If everybody would be peacefully authentic, I guess a company would suffer, I'm afraid.
I think Monte has a lot to offer, and I think her ideas are good, they're valid, and they're doable. They're not ideas that are saying, go out and buy my $50,000 worth of equipment and do it this way. It's not that kind of thing at all. It's really basic things that you can actually do that are people related, not necessarily product related.
I thought, like so many other people, that once you give birth to a child, you know what you do next. And I found out that, no, you don't. At the time when they were born, I felt so bewildered, so lost. None of my so-called very good scholastic education prepared me to what I need to do, how I have to handle young babies. And truly, because I felt so fortunate that I did meet any good girl, I thought I owe it to society to help as many parents and professionals as I can to give them this kind of guidance that I was so fortunate to receive. You have to try and fail, and that's what babies are ready to do, ready to do, can do, and do. And this is one of the things we so often, with the best of intention, do not let them do. In life you are upset, and then you are happy, you are challenged, you solve problems. You make choices, some are good, some are not so good, and hopefully you learn from the choices that you made, the good ones as well as the bad ones. I think ideally life is an ongoing learning experience from birth till death. And if that's what you look at, then you allow the baby to do his own learning that he or she is capable of doing. All children achieve their own milestones in their own way at their proper time. This can be proven by all the children who do not go to exercise classes and are not being thrown in the water or are not being taught things then it would be like there would be two different populations. Only those who learn it who are being taught. That's simply not true. If parents could relax and wouldn't think of their children as racing horses, who have to come in first. For what? You know, it's almost incredible that at a time when lifespan is getting longer, we have more time to do all the things. Why do we have to hurry it up? And why hurrying a time in which nature has such a perfect plan? When should a child be allowed to be doing things that they are ready for, if not during infancy?
In her parent-infant classes, Magda encourages parents to observe their babies during uninterrupted play and to interact with them mostly during caregiving times. You know, when we diaper, we feed them, we change them.
Yes, that's right. Here we go. One leg out, where's the leg? Oh, there is the other one.
Babies are diapered as much as 7,000 times during their lives, so it might as well be pleasant.
How many diapers?
Sasha, here comes the diaper.
There we go.
And people you read in books usually talk about teaching your child, stimulating your child, playing with your child, entertaining your child, but very seldom do they say what happens while you care. Because it is during the caring that you really develop, hopefully, a caring relationship.
When I do it, it finds it, finds it, finds it. Okay, yeah.
This is the one thing you do while the child is close. You cannot do it via distance. You have to be there. You look at the child. You talk to the child. You talk about what you are doing together. You talk what you expect from the child. And all these are incredibly important. Learning experiences, emotional experiences, refueling experiences for both parties. And interestingly and sadly, these are the times that hardly anybody uses.
What do you say? What do you say?
First 2 years are extremely important. The first 2 years are the time when basic patterns develop, patterns of learning, of living, of loving, of how you relate to the world, of how you adapt, of how you solve problems, how you make choices. These are the important things. Your attitude develops during that time. The one thing I truly believe that while different methods may be good for different people, I could not imagine that what we tell people could ever harm. And there are many other approaches that could be harmful. I think respecting a child, I cannot imagine. Can you? And, you know, having a little bit more respectful word where people allow each other to be what they are, where we don't need to manipulate, where we can have more trust, that we can trust ourselves and each other, but we don't need to always perform. And that's one of the sad things. We all know it's not easy to always play a role. And yet we want even our infants to play roles, to perform according to somebody's script or schedule. So it may be a more comfortable life we could create.
Tell me what comes next. There is magic in allowing time. There's no hurry, so we'll take it slowly. Let me choose. I want to know.
To have this made. The center in Los Angeles, the Rye Center, has mothers come, and some of them drive as much as 50 miles away, and they do not leave the babies. They're there for 2 hours, and they sit back against the wall. I don't know if you noticed a couple of mothers. They sit back against the wall. The trainers, I've taken Rye 1. Well, I have the center program trained at my house, so I've had Rye 1 12 times, and that's an 80-hour intensive training program. And then Rye 2, it can only be done in Los Angeles, and that's you have to go down there and spend 2 weeks just observing infants. And you have one class of three-month-old babies, and there'll be only six at a time. You'll have six mothers that have, you know, enrolled in the class, and they'll sit back and observe their infants. And then the next class in the afternoon would be the next age, and it goes up to 2 years after 2 weeks. And each morning and afternoon is an hour and a half. And in training, this, like myself and the students, will watch, observe what's happening. And the ones that have done Rye 1 and Rye 2 then do Rye 3, which this year will have three Rye 3 people coming to help, and two are from Canada and one's from Colorado. And they've done Rye 1 and Rye 2, and now they're doing Rye 3, which is helping Magda do the program and teaching like I do at different colleges when I'm asked by Rye. And that somebody, well, I did one in January at Pacific Oaks College in Los Angeles, and I did one in Wenatchee at the community college. And wherever Rye's asked to do a program, then they'll call someone that's close by, except they treated me to a trip to LA. But then after you do Rye 3, then you become certified, a certification that says that you're a Rye teacher. And RIDE teachers are much wanted in different college programs around the country. And there's one in Massachusetts, at a college in Michigan, there's North Carolina. There are two centers in the United States that are care centers where mothers leave their infants. There's only two that have been certified by RIDE. One is adjacent to the hospital in Santa Barbara, because all the doctors and nurses wanted a RIDE program, so they provided the space and hired the people that were trained by RIDE, and that's run. And one in Manhattan Beach, California, where the first program was certified. And there are certification programs going on around the country. I know there's one going on in Michigan that want to become RIDE, and it takes a couple of years for that to happen. Because in a RIDE, the care center where you see a mother leave an infant is totally different from going to RIDE centers, I mean to infant care centers that you see around. And the first week of RIDE training at our place and in LA would be hearing lectures from 9 to 3 in the afternoon of the RIDE process. And the second week, we had teams, the RIDE 3 people set up three or four teachers that have come from all over the country and try to get them from different areas. And then they will go on a planned route around Seattle to visit like four infant care centers. And we have to get permission from the centers to visit, and that's all done by the RIDE 3 people ahead of time before the RIDE students come in July. And then they'll do visitations on Monday, and then Tuesday they'll come back to like my center, and then they'll have a big discussion with the RIDE leaders. And then they'll go out again on Wednesday and have a discussion on Thursday. And I buy tons of Kleenex boxes because the people cry. Because when you heard Magda lecture for a week, and then you go out to visit the centers, and you realize what's happening to infants. And it's not because the infant caregivers are not nice. They're wonderful people. Most of the people I've ever, when I do the visitations, I usually take one of the groups, will like take six in my van to Seattle, and then three will go here and three go there, change off places. It's that they don't understand neurological development. So they're being very kind to these infants. And as much as young as 3 months in one center, I've seen it right off the island on the mainland, put them in a wind-up swing and keep them happy, you know, and take them out of there and put them in a little cedar. And at no time is that infant being allowed to crawl and roll and be on their backs. And sometimes you'll see them go so fast, because I think some of the film in the front was just the babies doing what they should do naturally to stimulate the neural system in the spine. And you can't get that kind of stimulation when you're in a canvas swing back, you know, you can't get it sitting in one of those seats they put them in. And it's not to say that those things aren't, swings we outlaw total, but because the movement at 3 months will make the eyes go really funny if you've ever watched a baby in a swing at that age. It's not good for vision. But, it's not bad to have them in the plastic seats for, you know, you go to the store, you need to do that. But if you, as I have seen in a mall, when I've been shopping for my half a dozen grandkids, I've seen the same babies there in the same seats for 5 hours. I mean, they're there all the time. And this is detrimental and will be causing some very serious complications in neural growth. And in LA, I work with so many. Now it's not to say that we don't have special kids who have problems. As a nonprofit agency, I'm listed with the IRS as a educational medical research center. I have to take all children, you know, and we have had many children with one child with spina bifida that actually the spine had closed so that she could walk, but for the first year and a half of her life, she was immobilized. So that caused what difference it is between being immobilized in a cast and being able to do what these babies did. And Amanda was not accepted at nursery schools or anywhere, and now here she is 4 years old when she first came to us. But we wanted her to come. She's an extremely bright little girl. Just had to move a lot, and had to move on the special equipment that I have. She'll be back next year. She was there last year. She was with us this year, and she'll remain with us because her mother really wants. She's seen a lot of progress in Amanda's development, and we've had other children. One boy was labeled obsessive compulsive behavior, and we worked with Aaron for 2 years, and he was pretty erratic. And it all came out that this boy had a tremendous amount of allergies. And after 2 years, we discovered him, and he's just a wonderful guy. He's extremely bright, and now he's going to school in Idaho, and he's top of his class. And his mom comes back, tells us about it. It so much of it is neurological, and in some instances, like I said, along with the allergies. He had a lot of sensory integration problems, and it's so sad because to remedy this is, like Magda says, natural development. An infant doing, you know, what he's supposed to do. It's amazing to watch them for an hour being on that rug. And of course, if there's a confrontation like that, then there's always the RI3 person to come and gently lift the baby away. But Magda's theory, actually in her book she just wrote, Your Self-Confident Baby, explains the process from birth, you know, through the first couple of years of life. If a baby is crawling and gets caught under a chair, instead of going and picking the baby up, you know, real fast, getting them out of the situation, right, the person will get down on the floor, the mom will be get down on the floor and talk to the baby and suggest another way. Even when they're 3 and 4 months old, and things that, like, they lose something, but it's not immediate gratification. It's just a little problem solving. And you never let an infant cry, you know, if they're so out of control. That's not what we're talking about at all. But many instances, all the little one needs is just a little help. And then they gain the satisfaction of really accomplishing it. And they do feel the accomplishment. It's pretty fantastic, this whole idea of protecting our infants. We always protect them, you know. We always watch for safety, and we care about their cold or hot condition. And we see that they're nurtured with enough holding and loving, and we see that they're fed on time. But then we have to allow them to struggle a little bit. And when they're crying in the crib, if you go over it, and I see this in daycare centers, immediately pick the baby up instead of standing in for him and saying, I really think you're in distress and I'm really going to try to help you. It's amazing how they'll respond. Just by the look on your face and the fact that you're there to care for them, and then you pick them up. But just not that, you know, have you ever seen that? Where the mothers immediately do it? And that's not the way it's supposed to be. Is there anyone that wants to have questions about the film? I'd like to really be able to touch it.
I saw on the film that the date that it was created, it's been in the works for a while. Mm-hmm. How have you seen those young people now that were in the program from the get-go?
How are those babies? We have some family people Los Angeles, Magda keeps pretty good track. A lot of the women have become mothers with rye babies. Because she had this, Magda said, oh, I could to make that. It was made by the movie industry. I don't know if you recognize the fellow that was talking. He's an old timer and I can't remember his name. But there were many other. When I was doing rye, Meryl Streep was there with her youngest, which is, I think, now about 5 or 6. And many movie moms that have babies later in life, they rush to Magda. And it takes, you have to, like when your baby's born, you have to get on the list maybe before he's born to get into the classes because they're so filled. And I'm the proudest grandmom because my granddaughter, whose husband, Doug, is a prop man for the movie industry. And when Julie had her first baby, she called me, she said, Grandma, I have to get in the ride. And they tell me it's impossible. And I said, I don't think so. So I called and I said, you know, this is something I've waited for a long time. So Carol, the woman that you saw there, her daughter was the first rye baby. Now, I mean, the teacher, she's a rye fellow. And the one that was helping the baby that was in trouble. And so Carol said, I'll do the best I can. So they did find a class where the babies were about 6 months older than Carson, but he's in the class. And then she took her Carson to the doctor in Beverly Hills, and because he had a little cold, and the doctor found out that she was going to rye. And the doctor said, how in the world did you get your baby in that class? She had to give it away. But it's pretty amazing to watch the babies. It's just so heartening to have the moms there to recognize how easy it is to be natural with them. And the toys they have, or the lids from jars that have no rough edges. One of the best things the babies like when they're very small are the soap guards, you know, those little plastic things that have the bumps in them. And that they love those as teethers. The mothers are told that they're really the best teethers you can get.
Just came in today and I just saw your sign up on the kiosk. And so can you maybe explain yesterday a little bit about what RIDE is and if it stands for something or...
Resources for Infant Educators. I'm very sorry. That's ridiculous. I'm sorry. It's a name that Magda has, and it is copyrighted, although a lot of places around the United States have used resources for infant educators. It's the word educarer that she actually invented.
They take the babies there and these people help them.
Well, the babies are with the mothers.
Yeah,
the mothers bring
the mothers
them.
Mothers and babies go and
mothers sit around the perimeter of the room. And they're to observe their baby, also the other babies. And it's not for comparison so much as to see that the actually Magda tunes them in to watch the wonderful things that are going on with their bodies, as well as their interaction. You know, when you get to the class where they're almost two, then you see the child who will be close to another child, will hand the other one something, will have found that if he wants something, if he's got two of them, if he gives one, he's safe. I mean, these things are fabulous, and children learn these things so very early on. And then because the other one saw that happen, the next time he's up, I'm thinking of something I saw, that he's up there alone, and somebody comes up to him, what does he do? He's picked it up from the other boy that this new one will leave him alone if he hands him something. Or another thing is that if one has something, some kind of a top or ball, and somebody's coming, they'll quick get something, give it to. It's just amazing to watch. Of course, there's only six babies there. But on the island, we have a little group that I hope will continue, that we started just a little bit ago, because I've had enough siblings who have young baby brothers and sisters now to start a little group. We would like to have Ride 2 up on the island, because the Canadians have sent at least over 50 teachers to be trained at Rye and at our center, and they'd like to have Rye 2 available instead of having to go down to Los Angeles, because that's pretty much of a trip for them. But it has its long-term advantages too, with problem-solving. Children who get to be 4 and 5 and 6 and are allowed to explore. And I've seen some wonderful parents around here, I have to tell you. And I've watched quite a few, and I think here you have moms and you have families. You have moms and dads that are pretty much aware of what it's supposed to be. But there are a great many that really think that with a lot of plasticity and things they can buy, that they're really helping the babies. And this is what Rye kind of wants to get across, that you don't need all of that. If the child is at a crawling stage in the kitchen, if you have a little closet in the kitchen that just has pots and pans that they can play with, it's fantastic. And they'll do it over and over, and they'll put them back, and they'll pull them out, and they'll put them back, and pretty amazing how they are always doing their own kind of setups for their experiences.
So you must have missed that part where they put them back. She only took them out.
Well, that sometimes it's a matter of is that her special place? Or is that
it was my oldest daughter, right? Yeah. She had a drawer that was just full of Tupperware.
Oh,
the lids and the bottoms, and she uh-huh. would take everything out, throw them on the kitchen floor, and then go off and play with something else.
Well, that's... And did you ever stand there with her and tell her how many shapes she had? And can you put the round ones in first? And can you find the square ones, or have you got one that have holes in them? The children are so amazing because they know they're smart and they want to learn. They have to have a little bit of encouragement and help. And sometimes when things are, you know, where you think it's kind of, and they really be enticed to bring it back together, if you call on their own ability and their own smartness to deal with it. So anyway, babies are smarter than we think. There's one thing, because this stage in particular has one thing that is extremely vital and important, and that's sensorality. How they say it now in Italy, they've got a new word. The sensorabilities. The program in Italy that I'm talking about is called Reggio Emilia. Have you heard about it? It's supposed to be the very best education in the world for children from 2 through the 6 year. And our colleges here in the country have been sending, until last year, teachers over there every year for the past 5 years. But they had so many that they closed down the having teachers allowed to go. And I'm on a list to hopefully go with my friend from Rye, and we hope next spring we might be able to go. Reggio Emilia, the district in northern Italy, the schools there were built by the parents out of the rubble. Can we put a window open here or something? I think it's really warm. I think it would work better. And we know that at that time, after the war, in every little Italian, lots of artists. So there were a lot of artists involved with the parents building the schools. So that the education that evolved was not part of the Catholic Church. It was pretty radical in its sense in that that way. The parents wanted to do something different where it was a three-fold team of parent, child, and teacher. It was a very big cooperative effort to do that. And since that time, now they're famous. And there's a book called 100 Languages of Children that was made, it was the first printed book that was allowed to come to America. And it's called 100 Languages of Children because they had 100 panels of art that was brought to this country. And about 3 years ago, they had the exhibit in Vancouver, BC. And they had, it was so, with 100 panels, I took two of my teachers up there. They had some of the big panels of pictures at the British Columbia University on the peninsula, had some at the Vancouver Art Museum, some in Douglas, and some in the place, starts with an S. Anyway, in four different areas in BC, because that's how big the exhibit was. And the reason they sent it around the world, then it was in Portland too. Did anybody ever see it in Portland? No, I don't have any people from Portland here. The pictures were so astonishing, the artwork that was done by these 4, 5, and 6-year-olds, that it just about knocks you out. And the reason is that their education process is built on the sensibilities. And when they have, it's all based on the child's interest. If somebody comes in with a big bouquet of flowers, and they look at this and they think, wow, you know, they get, is the rest of the class interested in this? Then they'll take the children out to a field where they can pick flowers. And then they come back and they make flowers out of paper mache. And they examine a flower and they look at the parts of the flower. And then they do plays and they make costumes. And then the art ensues out of this so that they've been involved with this so much that what you see in art is pretty amazing. And they had a video, I loaned it to someone that was going out giving a workshop. They went to the town, one of the towns where the Amelia schools are, and there's a big stone lion. The kids climbed all over the lion, and the teacher that had a little field trip realized how they liked it. So the next day they went back and they put a big paper on the ground, and the shadow of the lion, the kids traced around the lion. The next day they come back and they made a mold out of the lion's paws. And back at the school then they made a lion costume and they did a shadow play and they looked at lions in books, and then you should see the lion sculptures. And they're just outstanding. And so all the panels were like this. They studied outside, they kept watching the birds, so then they decided to make a playground for the birds. And the pictures in the book, 100 Languages of Children, they fixed a couple of upside-down umbrellas for the birds and hung that up and made all kinds of things, and the birds were there. It's just, you know, filled one of the umbrellas with water. But it's the whole thing is built on the environment having enough for the children to explore through their senses. It would be through smell and touch, and of course the movement was allowable, and through sound. They have things that they were allowed to put together to make noises and sounds. And the senses, if the senses are actually given enough ways to be explored, those old dendrites in the brain just grow like crazy. And now the schools have put an effort into making it longer than just through the 6 years, because the parents are demanding that they have this kind of education further on. The children that have gone into the schools, that is run by the government and by the Catholic Church, the children are outstanding, that the parents want them to continue longer in this format that they have. And it's true with all children in these years. If you look at the way this is the way that Radio Amelia looks at their sensibilities. It has a chart where they look at rough and wet and cold and hot and dry and soft, and make sure that their environments include this kind of material exploration for the child. And any parent can do this at home. When I was working in Los Angeles with children that had some very severe problems, I found that one thing that they didn't have very developed at all was their tactile discrimination ability to decide the softest from the hardest objects. So I'd make great big, my husband would have a board, and where did I find it? At the drapery store. You know those big things like this with the squares, and you put the fabric in it like this to make flounces? Well, he put a bottom on it, and each one of those squares, I put different kinds of feeling materials. Slippery, and I put sand and rice and so on. And this is not only remedial to children that have so-called ADD or hyperactivity or some of the other things that cause them to be extremely erratic in their movements and nervous, but taking time, and as I would be there and they would dialogue with me what it felt like, what did it remind them of? Not only is it good for their sensibilities, but it also develops language because they try to explore ways to describe what they're feeling. And the more kinds of senses you can kind of invigorate that way in an infant, you know, when they start to explore it, the more the brain will grow. It's been proven. So it's a funny thing about adults. I've done workshops with adults where we had one at San Diego State. It was a creative workshop, so I had about 80 people were coming, 80 teachers. So I had about 10 tables, great big, you know, school tables like in the lunchroom. And each table had different kinds of materials, paper rolls and pieces of linoleum and, oh gosh, every single table held different materials. And then one table extra had all the adhesives, had glue and tape and black and yellow tape and whatever it had, clothespins, anything that could hold something together. And there were baskets by the ton that they had supplied for me. So every teacher that came in picked up a basket and went around the room, and the whole idea was to create. And they would pick up things in the basket and go around the room. Well, out of that, because this was a class they wanted me to design for creativity, I found that there were seven kinds of adults. And then made the comparative sign to compare it with a child. So I'll read to you, these are the kind of adults that came in those 80 people. I don't have to tell who they were. But there's one adult who is reluctant to touch. We go around, and you can even see the body language like this, you know, we'd be looking at the material, you know, and we'd just even say, can I watch? And of course, that was fine. The next one wants to touch but withdraws, and that you would see these particular ones go over and they think about picking it up and then they hesitate. Very, very, like, I can still remember one lady's face, you know, she didn't want to not do it, but she couldn't quite bring herself to do it, but it was very pleasant, and she would even make a comment. Those people enjoy seeing what's happening. And the next one touches and explores, likes to feel the things they have, but don't quite make up their mind what they want to have. Next one will manipulate the materials and put a couple of things together, put some in the basket, not too many. Next one touches, chooses various kinds of materials, designs and redesigns,
and take it back, won't be satisfied, we'll redo it, you know, and do stuff, and we'll be positively enjoying it. And then the next one, touches, designs, constructs, experiences pleasure from specific feeling surfaces, begins to help others enjoy the experience. And those are the kinds of grown-up people we have, and this is all a result of childhood. And this helps. It can't extend, you know, to do much except be comfortable. Then touches, responds to certain tactile surfaces. This is the little one, you know, 5-6 months, explores with the mouth and fingers as well as the skin. They want to touch everything, they want to do it this way because this gives them lots of information. That's where we have to start to be careful. And the next one, touches, explores, and manipulates material, still uses the mouth for exploration. This is going to be a year, year and a half old. Then 2 years old, touches, explores the tactile environment, will continue to use the mouth, and that's very, we have to be very careful. Along the way then, as they grow up, there are some that you will see touches with restraint because of the reprimands, don't touch too much. And then once the touch, but is actually frightened by different kinds of sensory substances. And then reluctant to touch to point avoidance, and we see this in autism. This is true autism. A lot of it is avoidance of tactile contact. Dr. Delicato has worked with children with severe autism. The whole thing is that if you have an environment that's safe with a lot of nice substances that can be felt besides plastic, because you don't get much information from plastic. And most all of the toys that you can buy are plastic, and they're great in preschools and nurseries because they can be cleaned. You know, they are easy to wash, but there isn't too much information from plastic, where long, long ago, kids didn't have plastic and they had a lot of wooden toys. My husband's a carpenter. He knows that 4 different kinds of wood smell different and feel different. And there's a lot of sensibilities that you can get through that kind of exploration. I wish we had a time for a little workshop to see how everybody feels. Anyway, sensibilities are very important for kids to get into. These are Rye Flyers. There's one thing before we stop. To find out how big your brain is, you know, children like to do this. The brain, I told some people yesterday that I'm invited to schools and I turn the kindergartens into a brain, the left side of the brain, some kids, and the right side, and the motor core, and then we have the tactile and taste people that set out little plates of food for the rest of the brain, and in the center in the limbic system we have reporters that I'll choose from a class, and they'll go out to different parts of the brain during this exercise and they will get information and get so excited. I've done this in kindergarten, first, second, third, fourth grade. And then they write me brain books. And they're wonderful. Some of them make me cry. They love the brain. They didn't know much about the brain. If you want to visualize your brain, if you put your hands together like this, you have your left and right hemispheres. I think everybody knows about the left hemisphere and the right hemisphere. Now the brain is kind of upside down, see, because this would be the brain stem. Kind of hard to understand. The brain stem is the old brain that has the pons and the medulla. Then if you feel right here, right through there would be where your old brain is, starts to go up into the hierarchy part of it. Now, over top of this...
Are you under your ear when you do that, behind it?
Under the ear, here. You just have to think about going through. Yeah, I'm talking about in there. That brain is still the old brain until you get down into the nucleus of the neck there. And then this is only part of it, because over that you have to put on a great big pair of woolly gloves, for instance, you know, and that would make it like that, which would be the gray matter. And then if you could have a, I've seen them, but I don't know where I would get one, a small helmet like they wear for bicycles, put on top. That would make your brain about this much bigger. And little kids like to do this because then they can see what size brain there are. And I've taken gloves to school sometimes and are taken wool to put over, you know, over top of the gloves to make the cortex. But our brains are completely encased. This part that you see here is the limbic system has the most important functions with the amygdalas and the little hippocampuses that have a lot now to do with emotions and everything that we're coming up with, how these things now we find control our body works. There is a definite connection between our brain and the way we feel. And the wonderful lady that has finally made it absolute proof of, she's gotten the Nobel Prize, Candace Pert, wrote a book called Molecules of Emotion. If you want to really, really find out how you have a lot to do with your body works and your healing and your self-healing. And do you know the name Deepak Chopra, the East Indian man that has wrote so much about healing the self? He wrote the foreword in her book. He said, thank God someone has finally written a book that will support everything I've ever said. And it took her a long time, and she was very reluctant to think that what he had found was true. But she did it on the molecular level of finding the leak acids that hook on to the peptides that do all this, whether you're positive or negative, can change things around in your molecular system. And I have to read every page that's in the book. I'll bring it so you can see it. I think we're over time, and I'm sorry. And I appreciate you all coming. And I know you're all vitally interested in children. And I appreciate that too more than anything. Thank you very much.
And then do you want this rewound?
Oh, that's okay. I'm going to take it home.